This is the duplicate tape of Mr. Jimmy John's interview, tape 3. From an original 90 minutes tape to a 60 minute tape.
California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California, February 26, 1980. Second interview with Jimmy Zhang at his office in Los Angeles. Mr. Zhang, can you tell me what the people did with the money they saved?
Well, most of the people, majority of the Chinese, they are pretty thrifty. Some of them investing in business, in houses, apartments. Some put it in the bank, deposit on the bank. That's the reason why the bank, the few banks they open in Chinatown, is the most fast-growing bank in the whole United States. I understand Chinatown BFA branch just a short time, and then according to the report, become one of the top 10 biggest BFA branch in the United States. So that, and naturally, Cathay Bank have been one of the considered one of the most progressive, fast-growing bank in Los Angeles. Not only in Los Angeles, but all over the United States.
When did the Chinese, when did the LA branch of the Cathay Bank start?
No. Cathay Bank is started, I would say, I think around 1969 or 70, I don't remember exactly what year, but would be around that, those times.
Or
78.
What about Bank of America?
Bank of America, I would say about 7 or 8 years ago.
What about before World War II then?
World War II, there isn't...
Were there any banks at all?
In Los Angeles, no. There isn't, not Chinese bank. A sponsor bank. What do you
Where
talk
did
about?
The
what
Chinese
bank?
People put their
well,
money?
Mostly Bank of America or Security First National Bank.
Downtown
in Fort Street, Main Street, so forth.
You mean throughout the '50s there were no banks in Chinatown?
No Chinese bank anyway.
Did any Chinese put their money in a safe deposit box? Not a bank account, but actually a box.
Wow, that's pretty hard for me to say. I wouldn't
know
too much about that.
What about gambling? Do you know anything about gambling?
Well, in the past, the Chinese people does do a lot of gambling. But I think due to the city police department in the last 10 or 15 years, that's not much going on.
Before World War II?
Yeah, I would say there is some type of gambling. Because due to why? Because the most of Chinese, that's a form of recreation more than anything else. Because they don't have too much interest in too much American recreation. So they the only recreation form is play mahjong, baijiu, and gambling.
I see. How were those kinds of gambling conducted? Inside a clubhouse or something like that?
Well, I would say, yeah, mostly gambling in a certain clubhouse or in somebody's home. so forth like that.
Were there people who made money exclusively from gambling? In other words, they operated gambling joints?
Well, a long time ago, I would say yes. They do had certain gambling open for commercial gambling. I mean illegally, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
but
they,
I would say it's not that much in the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. We're mostly interested in the period before World War II.
Uh-huh.
What about politics? Were you or anybody you know involved with politics in China? Say, anti-Japanese effort?
Well, of course, during World War II, before World War II and during World War II, a lot of Chinese are pretty patriotic involved in the war. And they, through the Chinese Consolidating Manevan Association, we do a lot of donation, a war bond to help the Chinese government.
Were they Chinese war bonds or American?
Chinese war bonds, of course.
Oh, they were sold here?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they were, the doctor, remember, in those days, Madam Chiang Kai-shek, you know,
yeah.
Come over and asked the Chinese people to help. And which is, I would say, the Chinese does to help them in form of donation and China war bond and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Which organization besides the Benevolent Association?
Well, it's, see, when I say the China Benevolent Association, they usually include every family association because, you know, like there are 25 family associations belong to that in those days. Of course, now we 28 members now, but some of the family association does not belong to the Chinese Consolidated Manevan Association, but they, in a way, they also have to get involved.
How about any individuals?
Yes, I would say quite a few individuals involved in happenings because a lot of those, especially the old timers, they are involved in doing that. Which I don't remember or attend, you know, what their name, it's been so long.
Oh, okay, yeah. How about sending money? Did anyone send money back to China? Did you?
Send money in for what? Oh, I would say in those days, everybody have to send money back to China one way or another to support their family because before World War II, due to the immigration law in the United States, a lot of Chinese could not bring their family or their wife to come over here. Naturally, they have to, every month, they have to send some amount of money to home to support their family.
Mm-hmm. That was very popular.
Oh yes, very popular.
So, did you do that?
No, I didn't do that because I was young and I didn't have a family and my family was all here already.
Mm.
I presume my father, I know my father too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did he send it to his close relatives?
No, he sent it to my grandfather still lived in China in those days. So he sent it to support grandpa. Yeah.
What about the depression? You were not here at that time, I presume.
Well, I came in 1938 in the tail end of the depression.
Mm-hmm.
And not quite as bad during 1930 to 35. In 38, I would say still in a kind of depression. I recall people in those days when we come in, the chef for restaurant, they get around about $660 a month in wages.
How much were they paid before the depression?
That I wouldn't know. Could be less, more. Of course, it could be more because in during 1920 was well possible in, you know, in the United States until the depression came. So you can imagine, and those working hours usually run around 14 hours a day.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 14 hours only during depression, or were they working 14 hours anyway before the depression?
That I wouldn't know because I wasn't here before the depression.
Right.
After the depression, I would say they are pretty much standard. They pretty much standard working that long
hours.
14
hours.
For anybody, any Chinese, I would say.
Oh.
No matter you cook, of course, in those days, most of Chinese not so fortunate like we are, and they either work in the laundry, or the cook, or the houseboy, or what have you. See? There's not too many many job open to the Chinese, even among the educated ones.
Were there any accountants or engineers back in those days, do you remember?
I don't remember they had anything like that. If they do, gotta be awful few of them.
When you first came here, what did you do?
Well, when I first came here, I go to school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm working part-time to try to help out the family, like everybody
were you
else.
Were able to find a job since that was
yes, sir. I found a job in a dishwasher or busboy in a restaurant.
How much did they pay?
In those days, I get $5 a month.
What?
Yeah.
For how many hours of work?
Well, usually started at 4 o'clock till 12 o'clock. How many hours is that?
8.
Yeah, about like that. Yeah. That's a school job in those days.
Per day?
Per day, yes.
In other words, you were working 8 hours a day,
yeah.
And you got $5 a month?
$5 a month. Of course, that plus food, you know. They feed you there. They fed you.
Ah.
And yeah.
That was in like 39?
That's 38, 39, 40. Then, of course, when the World War broke out, then everything changed a little bit.
Yeah.
To have an increase in...
Increase?
I remember just before I joined the Navy, I was getting $75 a month as a cook helper.
Cook helper? Oh.
Yeah, that's...
That's a lot more than $5 you
would. Well, because in that time, a lot of people got drafted, including among the Chinese.
Yeah.
Then the business, restaurant business picking up. So they have to pay more before people were willing to work.
Mm. How much, during the depression when you were getting $5 a month, how much did you have to pay to have lunch?
Those days, we very seldom had lunch because mostly the place you work, they finish the lunch and dinner for you. But I recall you can eat a bowl of wonton soup or pork noodle, 10 cents. Like haircut, 10 cents. You can go to the movie, 5 cents for the children, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Of course, that's not a first-class movie. It's like Main Street, Third Show.
Third Show.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any hostility toward the Chinese in Los Angeles between 38 and 45?
Oh, yes. I would say there is you could call the hostility or you could call that, what you call, racism or... What? Because in those days, we do can feel the Chinese living in this country does feel they are second class citizen. There's many places we couldn't go, many restrictions.
Like what, which places could
we go? Well, let's say like the better restaurant place or better movie house, they don't want you to go. And a
you
better,
mean, what if you, you
like,
go, then they would say, we cannot let you?
No, they wouldn't say they couldn't let go. They just tell you they don't want you. Listen, you are in the wrong place. Or else you do go, they wouldn't sue you, make you feel that you are unwanted. So you don't want to go. In other words, they will discourage you to go to those places. And same thing, like you try to buy a house, there's a lot of places in Los Angeles you can't even buy a house there because they got different restrictions.
Yeah. Did you personally experience any of that kind of a discrimination?
Oh, I would do myself. Even after World War II, I come back, I try to buy a house in Silver Lake Street. And they will try to restrict me not to buy there, but the owner sell to me anyway. You know.
Oh. Hmm? When was that? 46?
No, that was in 1951.
When did you?
Of course, they not enforced in that time. They were declared unconstitution. But the neighborhood still kind of, you can see the feeling. They don't want you to buy.
So what happened after you moved in?
Well, then we make friends and we become, I prove to them I am just as good as they are in the neighborhood. We keep the place, house up to their standard, and then by the later on, they accepted us.
What about restaurants and theaters and whatnot?
What do you mean, what about
Did you try to get into restaurants?
Yes.
And were barred from it?
No, I never, personally myself, I never have that kind of exclusion, say you are barred from any restaurant. But you do have the feeling when you do go, you feel that you are unwanted. Let's put it that way.
I see. But you did get in.
Oh, yes.
I see. But you felt...
That's at the World War II we're talking about
after.
Now.
When did you feel that that sort of thing stopped happening? Or if they
had I feel that four or five years after World War II, then gradually, the American society accept the Chinese. They found out the Chinese people wasn't as bad as they think.
Didn't World War II help Americans to feel more positive toward the Chinese because they were allies?
What do you mean they feel part of?
During World War II, China and America were allies.
Oh, yes. I would say that definitely helped to change the American people attitude toward the Chinese. That is reason I feel myself, of all the minority ethnic group, the Chinese are gained to accept by the American society more so than any other minority group.
As of today,
yes.
Did you ever have to wear a badge that says you're Chinese and not Japanese?
Yes, that was due in the Pearl Harbor day. During the Pearl Harbor day, I was in high school then, and because on account they are shipped, in Los Angeles, because they are shipping all the Japanese to what you call that camp. And then there is a lot of violence took out in the street. Any Asian people, the people, the kids or people to take a, had violence with them. So among the Chinese people through the Chinese Consulting Minervan Association and have to use a Chinese flag sorted in the back of your jacket.
Oh.
When you walk down, you just make sure that people don't mix you misidentify as a Japanese.
What would they do if they thought you were Japanese?
They probably hit you and beat you up and so forth like that.
Did you ever see any Japanese being beaten
up? Oh yes, I see some. They've been beat up, you know. Of course, the LA Police Department don't allow that, but that's not much.
Yeah.
They couldn't, you know, try to control that.
So did you have the flag sewn on the back of your jacket?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you can only wear one jacket?
Well, you just take it out. Yeah. But that's not doing just the early stage time. Oh. After they put all the Japanese into camp, then we no longer have to do that anymore.
How long did that process take?
Oh, I would say a couple months, I think.
Oh. Mm. I see. Right after Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, right after Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm.
What about the Jewish people? Do you feel that there's any similarity between the way they do business and the way the Chinese do business?
The Jewish people?
Mm-hmm.
I would say the similarity in way. The Jewish people, also the American people against the Jewish people. I think they are a little bit more so than to the Chinese, the Asian people would rather. Because the Jewish people, a lot of them, they change name. You have a time, you don't know they are Jewish or not. So they can get away with it a lot easier than the Asian people, like the Chinese or whatever.
In what ways are they similar?
Well, most like, as you know, most of people don't like Jewish people. And they always call them different kind of name and everything else. Same, they do call the Chinese Cheng or what have you, and they call the Chinese Jewish Kai or what.
I mean, in terms of doing business, were there any similarities in the way they conducted business?
I wouldn't say that in among Jews, of course, the most Jewish people they are before World War II or during World War II, they are a lot more educated than the Chinese people.
Mm.
And naturally, they can get jobs much easier than the Chinese or do business with the Chinese, more than the Chinese so.
Well, did you hear anyone make remarks that the Jewish people were very sharp business people?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Just like the Chinese?
No, just like even today they say that. Yeah, because I wouldn't say the Jews make a vision they do that because the Jewish people, they know they are same like the Chinese or anything because they write in business, they know they had the the percentage against them already, so they try harder to do business. Naturally, they always call Jewish people real smart in business. So for the village, it's hard work.
Would you consider Chinese to have done better or worse than the general population of Los Angeles?
I would say the Chinese in average, talking about after World War II to the present day, they are doing much, much better than the rest of the minority, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. What about the whites?
Well, in some, yes. We would do much better than some of the white, but I don't talk about the big business cooperation or something like that. I talk about average population. I do feel our Chinese are much doing better than some of the average so-called American.
Why do you suppose that's the case?
Because we are work harder. We try harder than they do.
I see. Changing topics now.
Yeah.
Where did the Chinese men meet their wives? Back, well, when the days, before World War II, when you were here.
Well, before World War II, when we were here, there's very few Chinese women in this country. So your majority of the Chinese, they have to go back home. They work hard and save money and go back to China and get married.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now it's entirely different now, you see.
What about the people that were born here? Even those that were born here? Married, went back to China to get married?
You're talking about in the old days?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Even a lot of American people born here, they have to go back to China to get the wife because they simply, there's not that many Chinese women in this country. Not that they wanted to, but what can you do? See?
Were there any instances of interracial marriage?
In those days? Oh, very few. Very few in the marriage. For instance, I didn't know that, maybe you know it. I found it out. There is a law in the state of California, they just took it off the book. In fact, any Chinese married, any Caucasian woman married to a Chinese is considered a prostitute.
Oh, really?
In those days. They just took that off because it's been in the law, California law, so long, they never used it, but was there until I understand one of the friend, attorney friend of mine, tell me so they only took off, I think, in 1968 before they took that off. Of course.
Caucasian woman
yes.
marrying a Chinese man.
Yeah, in those days.
Huh.
So you can see that's pretty hard for in the mayor, but they do have some, but real rare case.
You did not notice any when you were...
Well, yeah, I noticed some, I would say, for those
what
who...
What kind of were they? Between whom and whom? Men?
Yeah, well...
Whites?
Yeah. I do notice some that Chinese do marry to into white Caucasian, but usually they are low class.
The Chinese were lower class?
No. I'm talking about the... Let's say a Caucasian woman who married to a Chinese, they are usually in a very low income or low class woman.
I see.
Anybody with any worth of his soul wouldn't dream about to marry into Oriental people.
What about Chinese women marrying Caucasian men?
Personally, I don't know about anyone in those times. Now, I presume they must be in instant case, but I would say in my lifetime, I didn't know anything. A Chinese woman are married to a Caucasian. Not that the Chinese woman don't want to marry a Caucasian. Maybe the Caucasian people don't want to marry a Chinese woman on the account of the society prejudice.
I see.
Yeah.
How did most people feel about the Chinese feel about interracial marriages at that time? for instance, the people you know who
I would say that they are that also very strong about that. See, I would say too, for my thinking, I think the Chinese people is same like a Jewish people. They are less more strong into an intermarriage than the Caucasian people.
They are strong against?
Against, more strong against intermarriage than the Caucasian.
Why do you suppose that's the case?
Well, they probably do to our background, family training, and...
Continue to side B for tape 2, side A.